Today, Donald Trump's criminal trial kicks off in Manhattan. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vows to fight any US sanctions on its army. Relief in Ukraine after the House approves an aid package. And the US Supreme Court takes on homelessness. It's Monday, April 22nd. This is Reuters World News, bringing you everything you need to know from the front lines in 10 minutes, every weekday. I'm Kim Vanel in London.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Opening statements in Donald Trump's Manhattan criminal trial begin today. After a turbulent week of jury selection, the prosecutors will lay out the case to the 12 men and women tasked with a monumental job, deciding for the first time in history on the guilt or innocence of a former U.S. president. Trump is charged with making a hush money payment to a porn star ahead of the 2016 election. Trump denies all the charges. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vowing to fight any sanctions imposed on any Israeli military unit. His statement is in response to reports the U.S. is planning to sanction a battalion in the occupied West Bank over alleged rights violations. And that just days after the U.S. House passed a bill which includes $26 billion in military aid for Israel. And as the head of the Israeli military intelligence, Major General Aharon Haliva, resigns. He said last year he accepts responsibility for the intel failures that allowed Hamas to attack Israel on October 7th. James McKenzie is Reuters bureau chief for Israel and the Palestinian territories. So James, who is this unit?
This Netzeh Yehudi unit is a special army unit which was set up in about 25 years ago in 1999 as a way of bringing in more Orthodox religious people into the military. They have special sort of conditions that accommodate religious practices and which sort of limit their interaction with female units in the army as part of the whole religious code that the recruits live by.
What are they accused of?
The most sort of prominent, well-known, best-known one was the alleged mistreatment and death of an elderly Palestinian man who also had U.S. citizenship. And that there were a number of soldiers accused of being involved in that. He was arrested. His body was found with his hands tied up and abandoned.
The unit's battalion commander was reprimanded and two officers were dismissed over the death of the Palestinian-American man. And the Israeli military says the Netzar Yehuda battalion operates according to the principles of international law. James, what does this possible sanctioning of the battalion alongside Israel aid being passed say about the state of the U.S.-Israel relationship?
I think it does underline the growing U.S. frustration with what they see as Israeli intransigence. You can see, incidentally, in the reaction of the Israeli leaders, all of whom came out, you know, quite strongly against this action against the battalion. I think because they realize not only do they object to the action itself, but I think they realize that it points towards the growing isolation of Israel internationally and the risk that the U.S. will sort of increasingly distance itself from Israel.
Sticking with the Middle East, at least five rockets have been fired from Iraq towards a U.S. military base in Syria. The attack comes a day after Iraqi Prime Minister Mohammed Shia al-Sudani returned from a visit to the U.S. where he met President Joe Biden. Papua New Guinea has accused Joe Biden of disparaging the island nation, by implying that his uncle had been eaten by cannibals there during World War II. Prime Minister James Marape said his country did not deserve to be labelled in that way. Biden's remarks come as the United States is seeking to strengthen its ties with Papua New Guinea and counter Chinese influence in the Pacific region. Millions of people are at risk of flooding in China's Guangdong province. Rescuers have evacuated trapped residents from the manufacturing hub after major downpours caused flooding and landslides. Some good news for Beijing from the Maldives. Voters there have handed a pro-China party a landslide victory in parliamentary elections. The result means a shift away from its traditional partner, India. If you missed it, on the weekend we took an in-depth look at India's own election in a special episode of the podcast. You can find a link to it in today's episode description. Tesla has spent the weekend cutting prices. Good news for consumers, but not so much for Elon Musk. Carmel Crimmins has more.
Shares in Tesla are down nearly 2% in pre-market trading. Tesla is in a price war with Chinese EV makers, sacrificing profit for market share. And Musk clearly thinks they need to cut deeper. So the price of a Model 3 rear-wheel drive has been cut by over $2,000 in Germany. And US prices of the Model Y, X, and S vehicles were cut by $2,000 on Friday.
The US House bill we mentioned earlier, approving military aid for Israel, also included a military package for Ukraine. Now it's up to the Senate and then President Joe Biden to approve the legislation, probably in the next few days. It's taken months of wrangling to get to this point, and Ukrainian forces are in an increasingly precarious position.
Постріл! Постріл!
Near the embattled eastern town of Kupiansk, Ukrainian artillery gunners say the weapons can't arrive soon enough. Don Durfee is our US foreign policy editor. Don, what's in this package for Ukraine exactly?
Yeah, the package provides around $61 billion in military aid for Ukraine. And that includes a whole range of things. Artillery shells, rockets for air defenses, other kinds of weapons. A lot of the money is going to be used actually to replenish U.S. stocks. So the U.S. is going to deliver things that it has in its supplies now, and then it will use some of the money to buy new equipment on the back end.
And one element that's new in the House version of this aid package is a loan structure. Can you explain how that works?
So one thing that's different about this new version of legislation is that it includes a direction for the president to seek repayment of $10 billion of the economic assistance for Ukraine. It does, however, include a provision that says the president can forgive that starting in 2026. So if Biden is the president, you can be pretty confident that he will waive that. If Trump is the president, he may decide to require Ukraine to pay it.
Logistically, how do these weapons get to Ukraine?
U.S. officials that we've spoken with say they could actually be able to send in new supplies quite quickly, within days of this legislation finally being passed. The U.S. has been preparing for this, and so they have pre-positioned weapons in Europe, including in Poland, and they said they should be able to send it in pretty fast. The kinds of things that are going to go initially include ammunition, which is desperately needed by the Ukrainians. You know, they have run out of things like mortar rounds, shells for their artillery, and also air defenses. Ukraine is increasingly getting hammered by Russia and just having a harder and harder time fending off those attacks.
Every week, Amber Rockwell and hundreds of other people living outdoors in Grants Pass, Oregon, pack up their belongings and change location to avoid being fined or arrested.
There's no place for us, like, literally. We're made to feel like we shouldn't even exist.
The rural town is at the center of a battle in the Supreme Court over whether governments can legally ban people from sleeping in public. Oral arguments are being heard today, and the court's eventual ruling could have implications for how cities across America are allowed to regulate homeless encampments. Warren Hinsman, the town's police chief, says homeless encampments have spread.
Every single municipal park in our city, and there's over 20, I believe, have a population of unhoused people essentially residing there, pitching a tent, resting, have their stuff. It's become incredibly problematic over the last couple of years.
But Ed Johnson of the Oregon Law Center says giving people a criminal record for homelessness will just exacerbate the problem.
If we go down this line, this road of criminalizing people and banishing them, we're going to wake up 2 or 3 years down the road and we're going to have twice as many homeless people as we have now.
That's it for Monday. Before you go, we have a favor to ask. Do you think you could take a moment to answer our short survey? We'll put a link to it in today's podcast description. We really want to make our podcasts better for you. We'll be back on Tuesday with our daily headline show. To make sure you never miss any of our updates, subscribe on your favorite podcast player or download the Reuters app.